Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job, building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So we're gearing up to build our first app of significance in just a lesson or two, a tip calculator. We're going to need to use different types of controls than what we've worked with up to this point, like the grid, the stack panel, the button, and the text block. And so in this lesson, what I want to do is just take a quick overview of many common XAML controls, and then we'll pick up a few other XAML controls, phone controls, as we continue out throughout the series. So what I'll do is start by creating a new project. I encourage you to follow along, get some hands-on practice building these. We're going to call this project Common XAML Controls. Click OK. And for the most part, I'm just going to copy and paste some code that I've already written and take a few moments and explain what each of these do. Now, we're already familiar with, for example, the text block and the button control. So we'll start with just pasting those into our designer. In fact, let's set this at 50%. That should make it a nice size for us. Over here. And we're also going to want to open up the CS. And then I think what I'll do is just unpin this for the moment. I don't think we need any of that. Great. Awesome. OK. So I'll paste in a text block at the very top and then a button control. And then in the click event of the button, I'll show you how to return values from a given control. So for example, if we begin with a text box control, this will allow us to input text into our app. So I'll just paste that in here. And then in our button click event, I'll set the text block equal to whatever was typed into the text box. So let's go ahead and save this and run it just to see it working. And we'll follow a similar style throughout the remainder of these control examples. So in this case, if I were to put my finger into the text box, notice that it brings up a type pad and I can begin typing inside of it. All right, and notice that the pad is oriented for adding numbers and dashes and pounds and asterisks. And this is the input scope for phone numbers. All right, so if we want to change the type of information that we allow into our text box by changing the type of keyboard that pops up, we can just change its attribute here. So you can see that there's quite a few different options here, like the chat, which would give us some of the smiley faces and other emoticons as well. There are different languages. If I just wanted to add, for example, a URL, we see it running. You'll see how it's different from the numerical input scope that we saw just a moment ago. There's the addition of the .com button on the end and so forth. Okay. All right, so let's move on and talk about the combo box. And here I'm going to actually comment out this code. And whenever we click our button, I want to take whatever the selected item is and cast that. And you can see selected item for the combo box is of type object. We want to cast that back to combo box item and then select out the content. If we take a look at the combo box, you can see that each combo box item is a child, so a collection of items that belong to the combo box. We can also set one particular item is selected equals true, and that will be the default selection when we run our app. So we should see the second item be the default selection. All right, and it is. All right, so when I tap it, notice that it brings up this flyout that allows me to choose a different item. And when I click the button, now we can retrieve off the fourth item from that list. You notice that flyout popped up. If I were to remove, I think if we go with fewer than five items, that instead of seeing a flyout with all the options, we'll simply see just a drop-down list. Okay, so just note that if you're expecting to see the fly out and you only have a few items there, whoops, control Z, let's control the way out of that. You'll only see it, I think, once you get to five or more items. Okay, so that combo box allows you, the user, to select from multiple items, potentially in a long list on a flyout. All right, moving on from there, let's talk about the checkbox. And this will be basically just a simple true or false option. You can see the checkbox has a content property, and the content by default is displayed out to the right-hand side of the checkbox. And so to retrieve its value and print it to screen, let me paste in some C# code that will do that. Let's comment that out and paste that in. And here what we'll do is just a simple the decision operator. So if is checked is true, then we'll print out is checked. Otherwise, we'll print out not checked. Now the is checked will return a nullable bool, which for our purposes won't work. We're going to cast that to bool. So it'll have to be true or false, not null. All right, so a false will come out to be, or a null will come out to be false. So let's go ahead now and run our app. And we'll leave the checkbox unchecked and click our button, not checked. We'll check it and then click is checked, okay? So hopefully this is helpful. You can see not only what these controls do, but then also how to retrieve their most obvious result as well, okay? Moving on to radio buttons. Here, let me paste in a couple of radio buttons. All right, and so we can change this from just radio button to radio button 1 and 2. Just like the checkbox, the content is out to the right-hand side. Then if we want to retrieve which of the two radio buttons was selected, let's do this right here. I'll paste this in, and we'll get rid of that, okay? Notice that each of the radio buttons have a name. My first radio button, my second radio button, and then to determine which one has been selected, we will ask it to, we'll ask is checked property, whether it's true. If it is, then we know what to set our text box to, and if not, then we can try additional radio buttons. So let's go ahead and run our app again. So this time we'll just leave all of them deselected. The value is unknown. I think I put it in the wrong place here. Let's put it into my text block instead of box. That makes a little bit more sense. Change my code here. There we go. Now let's click, okay, it's unknown. Button 1, button 2. Okay, so that makes sense. Now how is it able to just determine one radio button or the other? Well, because they're in a default group, if we want to add or make two different groups, what we can do is, for example, here, I'm just going to copy these two radio buttons and paste them below. And I guess I'll have to move some things around here. So third radio button, my fourth radio button, I'll move the top to, like, let's see, 280. Would that move it down enough? And then 320, like so. All right. And we'll say this is radio button 3 and radio button 4. Let's run it the way it is. Now that we have four radio button options, you can see we can pick from any of these. And notice by selecting one, it deselects the other one that was previously selected. But what if we wanted two groups of items? Well, we would add a group name equals second group, like so. And we'll add this to the second one as well. And now we should have two groups. So, as you can see, we can select either one of these options here in the group that has the name second group, or the group without a group name is still in one group. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense, how to work with groups. Let me comment this out because I don't want this to interfere with what I'll do below it. And let's move on to the next control. The next control is a date picker. And this will allow us to select a given date. You can see here that we have a property like the date change property that we can respond to whenever somebody clicks on a different date. However, to kind of follow along what we were doing, I'm going to ignore that for now and instead just do this. So we're going to get the current date from the date picker and then toString it and put that in the text block, like so. So now let's run the app and see how this works. Okay. We have to go ahead and create a definition for it. We'll leave it empty, but let's go ahead and run the app. All right, so now when I want to pick a new date, I can change the date from the past and into the future. And keep in mind that this makes it very convenient if you are just selecting with your finger as opposed to with a mouse. And then when you have one that you want, we can select the Done button, and now that new date has been entered here. When I click the button, it will choose or will display that date, exactly that date at this time, with the offset for my current time zone, which my time zone is -6 GMT, and so that's reflected here in this as well. And there are, as since we're working with the date, we can format it in many different ways. There's a similar control for times, so let's take a look at the time picker control. And I'm just going to paste it in below here, right next to the date control. And I'll retrieve the date in a similar way. Let's comment that out. Let's put this here. So I'm working with my timepicker.time.toString. Let's go ahead and run the app. And you see when I click to choose a time, I can choose the minutes, AM and PM, choose the hours, and then click OK. And you can see that reflected here. When I click the button, it will show me in hours, minutes, and seconds what time was selected in the time picker. Great. All right, we're also probably at some point going to use an image control, so let me go ahead and paste one in here. Now, what we'll need in order for this to work is an image, and so what I'll do is open up the assets folder, and I could use one of these existing images here, but I'm going to drag and drop an asset that we're actually going to use later called sunny.png, and all it is just a simple icon of sunshine. And so in order to utilize that, what I'll do is go assets/sunny.png, and it will appear there, like so. And there's we could set that asset, or that source rather, in code, and we would just need to provide a URI. So there's really nothing to do here. I guess I could change the source code to whenever you click the button to change the image, but I'll be describing how to do that, how to reference items from the assets folder later on. So I'll just leave it as is for now. But let's go ahead and move on from there. And I'm going to talk about the slider control. And the slider is an input control, unlike the image control, that allows me to move a slider to make different settings, and I'll show you how that works just here in a moment. In fact, let's use it with a progress bar. And so I have a special setting on the progress bar, and a progress bar is just something like how much a percentage of something complete. So in our code, if we had a long-running operation, we could show it tick off 10% done, 20% done, 30% done, and so on. I can set the maximum value and the minimum, so I can say in this case when the progress bar is at is going to be from some 0 to 100, and I can set the current value to 50, 70, 80, 100, so on. But in this case, what I'm going to do is use the special binding syntax, and I'll come back to this a little bit later. Let me remove that so you can see it. So essentially what's going to happen here, and we'll talk about bindings later on, but every time we move the slider, whatever the current value is will be reflected in the progress bar. So we're going to do a one-way binding from the My Slider Controls value property, whatever the current slider position is, to the current value and set that to the value of the progress bar. And so if we do this right, it will work like this. So I'm going to move, and you can see, move the slider, and it will change the value of the progress bar. Very cool. Similar to the progress bar is the progress ring, which you typically use when there's an indeterminate amount of progress remaining. So with a progress bar, there's a suggestion that you're at 50% done, 70% done, 80% done, and it gives the user some idea of how much more time to expect. Progress ring is just going to say working, 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 and so the default visualization is just a ring of light that continues around in a circle. Okay, and in order to demonstrate this, I'm going to actually use a final control called a toggle button. So we'll toggle the progress ring on and off based on whether the toggle button is depressed or not depressed, all right? And so to make this work, I'm going to actually implement this my toggle button underscore click event handler. And inside of there, what I want to do is check to see the current value of my toggle button. If the toggle button is currently checked in a check state, so it's depressed, then we're going to set the progress ring to active property to true. Otherwise, we'll turn its isActive property to false, which should remove the progress ring. So let's go ahead and run that. So I'm going to toggle, and you can see the rings of light, the little balls going around and around and around. And then we will deselect the toggle button, and it will disappear. So two ideas there. The progress ring is great for an indeterminate amount of progress that needs to continue on. The toggle button, great for an on-off state, as opposed to a button, which is just merely a click or a tap. All right. And so these are some of the very most common controls. Some of them, like our date picker, time picker, the combo box, employ other controls like the flyout that will display other options on another page. And when you make a selection, it'll go back to the original page. And there are literally hundreds of additional properties, dozens for each of the controls that are displayed here for specific purposes. And as we go through the series, you'll learn a few. But ultimately, if you can imagine something should you should be able to do something with a given control based on your previous experience of working with the phone or with apps in general, there's generally going to be a property or way to do that. Just look through the list of properties, for example, select one of these items, let's say, for example, the date, and we'll just start looking through the various categories of properties that are available there. Maybe like the specific start date that you want to begin with, or its layout, or the fonts and the colors that you want to use. Those are all various, properties that are just usually hidden inside of the properties window and available for you to modify. Okay, so that's all that I have to say about the Common XAML controls project. Hopefully that gave you some exposure to some of these controls, and you can start utilizing them in your own projects. All right, so we'll pick back up in the next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you.